the farmer from Borick's farm in Cartmel Valley, who is at the moment in Borbank nursing home being treated. I've made arrangements with Geoffrey Dixon to call this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and if all goes well, he'll be well and I'll be able to talk to him about farming in his early days in Cartmel. That's John Dixon of Borick's farm. Don't know if I ever met your sister,
no.
Did I?
And then my younger brother, he didn't want to be on the farm, so we went into the milling business.
Now, is he the one that stayed in Australia?
He's been all over.
I think we met him at Tom and Constance's one time.
You're a big fellow.
Very big fellow, yes. Yes.
Grand jovial fellow.
Very jovial, I remember him well.
Yeah,
yes.
Everybody seemed to get on well with him.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, he was a... Well, that was
yes.
My brother, he was a grand fellow.
So how many years were there between you and Tom?
Oh, about 3 years. I was born 29th of April, 1894.
Gosh, that's a good age.
That makes me 66, doesn't it?
20... Oh, don't ask me about arithmetic, but it'll make you over 98.
No,
that's too far, is it?
96.
Yes.
It must have been 96.
Yeah, so Tom went into the army, didn't he?
He did.
In the First War.
He joined the army
in 1914, if I remember.
Yes, just after we'd done the harvest.
Yes.
So he said, we'll just get the harvest, now I'm going to the army.
Yes. He was a very lucky man to come out of it, wasn't he?
He was. He got, he got wounded twice, pretty badly.
Yes, yes he did.
He did.
Yes.
And he did very well in the army. Like, he was rather a commanding disposition, hadn't he?
Yes, he could see what needed to be done. He liked
did.
To get on with it, didn't he?
And he was a very hard worker.
Oh, he was.
He could work even when he got older.
Well, I used to wait till Constance went to go get her hair cut, and then he'd come over for me, and he said, well, just get a few jobs done while Constance is out of the way. Yes.
Aye.
I have a film of him running after some cattle in Hampsfield. When he'd had one heart attack, and he was well over 70, he was getting close to 80, and he was running round this field with these eight bullocks in front of him.
Yeah.
We have that on video.
Well, things have changed, haven't they? I was born then, and I was telling a little incident. It's not worth recording hardly, but it's been on my mind all my life.
Yes.
I told a lie.
Well, I think most of us have done that from time to time.
But you know, I'll never forget that. We, in those days, if you'd a man got hurt on the farm, you had to look after him at the house.
Yes.
You see, they lived in there. We'd probably have three men living in at other side.
Yes.
And doing the work. Mm. And this, the horseman, he'd been hurt.
Yeah.
And he just got convalescent. And we used to like to go with old Freddy, we called him.
Yes.
And we used to like to go for a walk with him, Tom and I. We weren't at school quite. And one day they went without me. By Jove, I was annoyed.
Yes.
And so I ran, I caught them up. I said, Tom, Mother wants you.
Oh dear.
And so he off back as quick as he could. It wasn't many minutes before he caught us up again. He said, John, he said, Mother wants you. And I didn't know what she wanted me for. And you know, Mr. Vaughan, I can just imagine being thrashed.
Yes.
With a birch rod.
Just for pulling Tom's leg.
No, I told a lie.
Yes.
You see, I shouldn't have said Mother wanted him because she didn't want him, but I wanted to get me on back.
Yes.
And she got hold of me, and you know what a birch rod's like, don't you? Tom Burnett was one, but we soon got another. And she thrashed me. No, I remember just thrown into the dining room, said, now, stop there till you stop your crying.
Yes.
And
it stayed with you.
I've tried to be truthful since.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And not to brag, but people have trusted me. I've sold hundreds of cattle without people seeing them, you know.
Yes.
And if I said they cost so much a price, they cost
yes.
that.
Yes.
I got a bit of commission, you see,
yes.
over. But,
yes.
You know, if you can be trusted, it's worth a lot.
Well, that's true. That's
money,
true.
You've got to have money to live, but
yes.
you haven't to live to have money.
No, I think that's good sense.
But if you're well, you're rich.
I think that's
now,
very good sense.
I think that's the finest thing. If you're well,
yes,
you're rich.
Indeed.
I've been very lucky, you see, to get
yes.
to be 96. I've had a few ailments, complaints and that,
yes.
but still.
Yes.
We've been a kind of a lucky family, really.
Well, you have worked, and you've worked hard, and you've kept good standards always, haven't you?
We've tried to work hard, and
yes.
we have worked hard.
I remember Tom telling me of being at Ellerside. Now, that was your father keeping Ellerside.
Yes, they
yes.
were the first tenants at Ellerside.
Yes.
And if you
so
down,
from the time Ellerside was built.
What?
From the time it was built new.
It was.
Yes.
They just walked into the pastures, went out.
Yes.
And the buildings today, you know, everything's to carry into the ship. There's ought to be a grand set of new buildings.
Mm.
In those days, I suppose.
Mm.
But it's all to carry across the yard.
Yes.
And you probably have two or three thrashing days.
Yes.
One, I've got a bill, one or two bill I can show you, from about 18. Yes. 1894 or something like that. A big round of beef, 14 pound round of beef.
Mm.
Sixpence a pound. And that was bought off the butcher called Cruson. I think we must have been having a thrashing day. The thrasher used to come round.
That was the traction engine thrasher?
Yes, that's
yes.
right. And probably stayed 2 days.
Yes. You don't remember the name of the driver by any chance, do you?
Because
there was a driver from Flukeborough.
Johnson.
Job Johnson. And he put himself down on the 1891 census as traction engine driver.
That's right.
It's the only time I've ever seen it.
You haven't got that little red book about
the Cromwell. Grange red book? No.
Cromwell. I have it,
mm.
and it puts down what everybody was.
A Cromwell directory? Well,
you
no,
know,
I haven't seen that.
Haven't you?
No, I must look for one of those.
No, I'll let you have it. You can buy me too.
Well, that's very kind.
My father's put down William Dixon, Pitt Farm,
yes.
farmer and cattle dealer.
Yes.
And another old chap was called Haddock. He was the, made the suit. You know, you see my memory go like that.
Well, it is a long time ago. The name Haddock rings a bell, but I can't think why I should remember Haddock.
No.
Oh,
there was only one Haddock that I
yes.
ever remember living at Scarborough.
Yes.
And then there's old Mr. Lancaster, he was a saddler.
Yes.
We had
yes.
a saddler.
Yes.
Yes. He was a clothier, Mr. Haddock. He made our suits.
That's perhaps where I've seen it on the census.
Oh, he could have been, yeah.
Yes. I'll bring it in and let you have a look at it.
Yes, you can have
there'll
a look.
Be some names there that you'll probably recall, because they would live on, many of them would live on for 50 or 60 years
oh,
after that.
Oh yes, they've all gone, you know, these men
mm.
that I knew.
Mm. Arthur Frearson's parents are on, and I think his Arthur Frearson, his father was down as a tailor.
He was.
In Cartmore, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And his aunt was down as a tea dealer, a tea merchant.
His aunt? His aunt?
I think it was his aunt.
Really?
It was one of the Frearson family, and it was,
yeah.
I think it was a tea.
Well,
anyway, I'll bring you the census in. You might enjoy having a look at it.
Dixon Frearson was the tailor.
Mm.
He was full of fun.
Yes.
He was quite a good singer as well.
Well, Arthur's been a very good singer.
Has he?
Oh, yeah. Arthur was singing. Arthur finished in the village choir last year.
Oh.
After 60 years singing with Cartmore Village Choir. 60 years in the choir.
In which village?
Cartmore. He started off as a choir boy in the priory, mm-hmm. and then he joined. Last year was his last year. He said it was getting a bit much for him going out at night.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was telling us about 60 years ago in the Institute building. They used to have activities in the Institute.
The old Institute.
Yes. Did you do anything there when you were a lad?
Only dance.
Yes.
We used to have dances in the top room.
It wasn't very big, was it?
It wasn't very big, no.
Big enough?
You remember the house and...
Yes.
You, well, and easy, young house and grandchildren. Well, there was James Howson and Holmes Howson. Mm. James Howson took dancing classes. They were builders.
Yes.
They built quite a few Walton things there. Yes. I know they built a big wall for us at Pitt Farm.
Yes.
And they were an old family. Mm. And now the Neath Howson, he'll be the third generation.
Yes, very sad to see the Howson building business go at Ainsham, wasn't it?
Yes. And they said it wasn't their fault. They said it's people that owed them money, really.
Well, that's it. Yeah, it's cost a lot of people their businesses, hasn't
it? It's cost a lot of people.
Yes.
People have gone broke without it being their own fault. Yes. Exactly. Mind you, I do blame the banks for one thing. They've encouraged people to borrow.
Yes.
And once you get into their clutches, you're the job of getting out.
That's right.
Charge your interest.
Yes.
So high, but still.
Did you went from Pitt Farm, did you go from Pitt Farm to Borwick's?
I did, yeah.
Now, did you do that on your own, or was it a family business?
No,
a family move. It was your own move.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when did you go to Borwick's, Mr. Dixon?
1923. Yeah, yeah.
No, yes. Did you buy it from the outset, or did you rent it?
I'll tell you how it happened. 1918, my father bought it.
Yes.
From the Remington family.
Yes.
Mortgaged it up.
I think it stopped anyway.
Anyway.
Yes, it seems to be working. Seems to be working all right now. It was a time of the... just after the war when a lot of big estates were broken up. I understand a lot of farms did change hands at that time.
Yes, they did. And another thing, people were saying at our sale, we had the sale in the back end of 1922.
Yes.
And they were saying, why didn't you have a sale a year before? Well, it didn't make any difference because Tom and I were both starting that year. So what my father lost with his prices, we gained with buying them at an old price.
Yes, yes, yes. So I know. It was still in the family.
It was still in the family, yes. So it made no difference to us.
So Tom actually started up at the same
time.
I imagine that Tom had stayed on in the army after that.
No, nobody took Greenback over at the same, same time.
I see.
Yes, because we bought horses and several things in the sale.
Yes.
And, things were a bit thin, mind you, and I'm sorry, but they weren't as bad as people used to think they were. Mm. You reckoned if you could pay your rent with your lambs that you bred that year, you were all right.
Yes.
And lambs, a good lamb then was about 30 shillings.
30 shillings a lamb.
Yes.
What sort of a breed of lamb were you raising
them? We had the half red ewes, grey face half red ewes, and we had a fowl flock.
Yes. So like Kendal Rough fowls crossed with Suffolks or Leicesters or
Suffolks or Leicesters.
What were you crossing them with in those days?
We crossed with a blue faced Wentley there on top.
Yes.
And there was a big shed. A sheep yard on the top of the fell.
That's interesting.
You know where the cairn is?
Yes, and I've seen some marks on the ground. I was up there at Christmas and I thought, I wonder what the dickens these marks... There's a big metal tank up there. Is there anything near
there? Oh, there is now.
Yeah.
The Tom Cornswitz put that up.
Is that where there was a sheep yard?
No, it isn't there. You know, the cairn's right up on the top.
Yes.
Well, you walk due north, and yes, you come to the sheep yard. It's just a square yard.
That's like at the end of the pavement. That's on your allotment, is it?
No. It's still on Pitch Farm. It's on that same piece of Pitch Farm.
What I would call Beacon Fell, perhaps. Or Fell End.
That's right.
Fell End.
On Fell End.
Yes.
It's just on Fell End. And he used to gather the big fell. There's been two portions of the fell in the old days. Mm. The big fell and the fell end.
Yes.
Well, I used to gather this big portion, go up one side and right round, and gather them into the yard, and then go round the fell end and gather them into the yard. Mm. And you see, in those days, there wasn't the same dipping as there is today. You know, you could dip then, and they'd be whipped again in a fortnight.
Yes.
You can dip now and it can keep
last
for
months.
2 months.
Yes.
And you know it will make a difference.
Yes.
But now do you know that the deaf government are doing? We've nearly got rid of the sheep's skull.
Yes.
Very nearly. There isn't much of it left. And they've told people they needn't bother to dip the sheep. It's
so
a dog boy.
Somebody.
Now, can you believe a thing like that?
Oh, I can't understand what the government are up to.
You can't understand.
You can't.
Just when you've about cleaned a job up, they can say, oh, you needn't bother to dip.
It's hard to follow, isn't it?
But they're dipping in a new way now.
Yes.
They're just going to pour a little
spraying
on sheep's back.
Yes.
I haven't heard anyone that have done it yet, but... Yeah. Well, I was just one sheep short, and so we thought we'd be down the clinks.
Yes.
And, you know, I went back and forward across the clinks, and there's all sorts of gaps and that, and little potholes in the clinks. And then I saw my little dog just standing away. It had found it.
Pointing at it.
And it stood there watching.
Yeah.
Till I went to get it out.
Yes. What was that one called? What was that dog called?
No.
Did you often lose a sheep down the clints?
Odd times, William. Mm. Odd times. William.
So you'd regularly look when you were one short?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you'd be across there. You went right across. Oh, we saved several.
Mm.
But...
I've never seen any down there. I've never heard of anybody losing them lately. So.
Oh, yes, you have odd ones get down there, down the clinks. You see, sometimes there's water, sometimes there's shrubs, there's even a briar or two.
And there's a lot to eat on them.
If they got on there, they can soon slip down.
Yes, yes. I've seen them down the mine shafts at Coniston.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's
a chap called Alan Wilson from Coniston Hall. I don't know if you know the Wilsons from Coniston Hall.
I know him, but I couldn't.
Well, I called in one night about 6 o'clock to tell him there was a sheep and a lamb down a mine shaft way up on Wetherlam, about 3 miles away, and a good hour's drive with a Land Rover and a four-wheel drive. Oh, dear, he said, so... He said, I'll attend to it when I've had some tea.
Mm.
So I saw him a few days later. I said, did you get your ewe back? Oh, yes, he said, we got the ewe and the lamb.
Yeah.
It was after midnight when we got home.
After midnight.
So he must have put in 2 or 3 hours to get this ewe and this lamb up.
Yes,
The ewe wouldn't move, and I didn't want to go down. I could have gone down and got it, but I thought that if I go down, the ewe doesn't know me, it'll run away and it's over the edge.
Mm.
But it they went with a rope and they got the ewe and the lamb followed.
Yes.
Mm. What sort of cattle did you keep when you started off?
I did quite a bit of cattle dealing when I started farming. Mm. I had the best man I ever had did employ. He was called Fred Inman, and you know, our farm in those days, what we have on our farm.
Yeah.
Now it's well bottle feeder, that's a bottle feeder, the other.
Yeah.
But it was our farm then, and they lived in the house, you see, and my parents lived up at Longmans for a while, and then it got far too big, we didn't want that big house, and that's when we sold it to Mr. Hickson.
Yeah. Mm. So did you have a mixture of breeds when you first started?
Yeah.
Whatever was going in the market, was good?
Yeah, I dealt in anything.
Yes.
Hens or ducks or anything.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Well, you see, I hadn't much money. I'd only £200.
Yes.
And he minded both quite a bit of stock. Mm. Did that. Mm. But, I can tell you, I borrowed the money from my father.
Yes.
He loaned me the money at 4.5%.
Yes.
And I have it all down.
Yes.
When I paid it back and everything, and then I took the farm on as proper rent, you know, the rent Fred Scott had been paying, and I don't know, I think I was fairly lucky at first, and I'd learnt a bit about cattle, but I'll tell you one thing, I wasn't done with the first beast I ever bought. Now then.
What was that?
I hadn't left school very long, and I was sowing a field of corn by the roadside, oats, going up the Hags.
Yes.
Yes, up past the police station. There was a neighbouring farmer coming down, and I just spoke to him as I got to the end, and he had a beast in a halter. Anyway, I'd known what my father had been giving for cattle and that, I hadn't bought any.
Yes.
And he said, "No, me lad, can I sell him a nice heifer?"
Yes.
He was taken down to Clark Station to take to Wolverston Market, you see. And so I just said, "Oh well, I looked at it, I thought it looks a nice, how much do you want for it?" And he told me. I thought that looks very reasonable. So I said, to Mr. Sonto, if you'll I told him where to put it into a certain shipment, I'll pay you for it. Like, you know, when I see you again, because I've no money or anything, I'll give you a check for it. And so, of course, the first thing I did when I went home for my dinner was to go and look at my heifer and see what it looked like. And you know, how he'd done me, he had it in a halter, and where he was holding it, he had a lump on it. He's had a big lump on it, too.
Oh dear.
I thought, you know, if he'd done a man like that, it wouldn't have mattered, but I thought, I know my father was annoyed about it.
Yes.
He said, if that heifer doesn't do right, you'll have to stand the loss, he told this man. Aye. But you know that the heifer did well.
Did it?
It did do well.
It just carried this injury with it.
It just, that didn't make much difference to it.
No.
But what a thing to do. Holding a heifer where the lump was.
Sharp.
Well, it was a sharp trick, but anyway, it didn't do me any harm. It did me a bit of good.
Let the buyer beware.
Yes. It did me a bit of good.
So how did you make money from your produce on the farm in those days? All your stuff to Wolverston?
I had a little milk round in the village.
In Carmel?
In Carmel.
So.
And we used to take potatoes and such like.
Your own potatoes, yes.
And the Fred Inman, he was a very honest man, and he did that job. That was his job.
Yes. So he'd milk in the morning and then do the milk delivery?
Yes, that's right.
Did you deliver once a day or twice a day?
Just once a day. You should like to get away about 8 and back by 10.
Yeah.
Yes, and I often used to set off out into country, Rutland, Satterthwaite and round there. I went on a push bike for a start and then I bought a motorbike.
Really?
Yes.
And what were you doing out there?
Buying cattle.
Oh, buying. Yes.
Buying bullocks.
Yes.
I used to buy for different people. I used to send a lot of bullocks down to Ipswich.
That's a long way off.
Yes. Well,
bullocks to be fattened.
Yes, yearling bullocks, yes.
Yes.
To some, he was a big buyer called Girling. Mr. Girling, there were two brothers.
Yes.
And, I sent him, I sold him 60 one morning in about 2 minutes. He rang me up the night before. He said, "Oh, Mr. Dixon," he said, "will you have two cattle wagons ordered at Clark's station?"
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew he'd buy my cattle.
Yeah.
And he said, "I want two wagons of cattle sending in to a certain man."
Now, how did you order a cattle wagon at Clark? How did you know about that?
Well, you just went down to Clark's station, saw Mr. Brown, the station master, and said, "Can I have two cattle wagons, say for Ipswich in the morning?" And right, he said.
So they just arranged it like that?
Yes, he said, "Right," he said, "we'll have two ready for you. Mm. They'll be here at 11 o'clock. And then they'd get there the following day."
Yes. Mm. So how did you pay for the cattle going from, say, Cark to Ipswich? Was that an all-in price for the job?
He paid the carriage.
And that
I sold them to him at home.
At the
and in those days,
yes,
he took 1 shilling per head for luck.
Yes.
And now then they want £2 for luck today.
Yes.
And they want a lot more than that for dairy cattle.
Oh, yes.
It's got out of hand.
Got a bit out of hand. Yes.
But he used to just take 1 shilling,
yes,
1 shilling head.
Yes.
But I think he bought 60. He got 60 that day.
Yes.
And you know, he said, "Have your cattle ready to show me?" And we'd got them all in and put them into two or three different lots, different sizing, you know. And I can tell you exactly the price I got for the first lot.
Yeah.
There were 30 of them.
Yeah.
And those 30 had to this order he had for them.
Yeah.
And now Mr. Dixon, he said, "Now how much are they?" I said, "I want 31 apiece, Mr. Girling." "Oh no, he said, "No, that's too much. He said, "I'll give you 29. Now I said, I can hardly afford them at that. "Well," he said, "you know what they are, don't you?" We didn't say 30 apiece, but he just said to me, he said,
"Half the difference."
He said, you know what they are, don't you? And they were £30 apiece.
Yes.
And so by the time we'd had the deal, the men were there waiting, ready to take them to the station. They went to the station right away. They took out the 11 train. And Mr. Girling had come, he came about 9 o'clock at Grange Station. I met him. And then we went and had a meal in the house. And I'd sold him the other 30 cattle to go another day or two later, you see. And by the time we'd had our meal, and he paid me for the cattle.
Yes.
And you know, by the time, as I say, he paid me in the house and we'd had a meal, went down to Cork Station, and men had just landed at the station with these cattle. Mm. And they got them right away. And from then he caught the train about 11 o'clock, and he caught that and went up to Penrith.
And so he was in the same business as you, but doing it in a bigger scale.
He was in a big scale. He was dealing in thousands, not hundreds.
Yes.
No. Yes. No, if I could buy 50 or 60 cattle, I was doing well, you know.
Yes. But he would be depending on people like you to make his time worthwhile.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes.
I was the only man he used to come and see out in the country.
Yes.
But he used to go to Lancaster, and then up to Penrith.
Mm.
Used to buy a lot of cattle in Penrith.
Yes.
And they wouldn't buy a black and white one in those days.
No.
He wouldn't have one. He wouldn't have a black and white beast given. he said they'd got to be shorthorns.
Very popular breed in the early part of the century,
wasn't it? It was then. And now, you can't sell a shorthorn today.
Is that right?
They think you've got too much fat on them. And beef's no good without a bit of fat.
Yes. I'm interested how you found the time to do all this travelling for dealing. Did you...
Well, we got up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And we got up away. Mm-hmm. And I used to... Before Thomas Dixon started with his haulage wagon, we used to truck him at Grange Station at 8 o'clock to go to Lancashire. You see, I used to take cattle from round the country and gather them up and take them to Lancaster or auction market. And I had good customers for good cattle.
Yes. How many days a week did you do that? 1 day, 2 days? Oh, whenever you found the time? Or?
Well, just, you see, probably... I used to then always market every week.
Yeah.
Without just hay time or harvest or something special. And then I stayed at home, or lambing time, you know, any particular time.
Yes.
And so then I used to go when I had time.
Yeah. So how many were you milking?
Oh,
in
not
the
many.
Days?
Oh, oh,
2 dozen, 3 dozen?
No, no.
Not as many as that?
No. Probably be about 15.
Well, that was a goodish herd at the in the early days, wasn't
it? We had many milk cows then. Mm. I depended more on buying and selling.
Yes.
And I was a very good customer up at Darlington. Took all my a lot of my better clean cattle, heifers, that's what you might call them. Mm. Yeah. And I sold many a hundred, and seeing, well, I'm Mr. Gulling. He'd ring me up and say, can you find me a wagon of good bullocks and send them.
And did he stay with you for a long time?
Oh yes, till he gave up.
Yes, when was that?
Mr. Gurley. He was the buyer. Oh, I couldn't tell you the day.
Before the war or after the war? Before 1939 or after 1939? What I'm thinking about was the 30s when times weren't so good for farmers, when prices went down. Did you keep this connection, this business connection?
Yes, yes.
When times were bad as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can make money when times are bad.
Well, I guess you can buy cheaper.
What?
I guess you can buy cheaper, can you?
People know things are bad, and they'll take your price.
Yeah.
When price is rising, you don't know the price of animals today to £100.
No.
Well, you could argue then to half a crown.
Yeah.
I've known people leave me with cattle for half a crown. Big two-year-old bullocks. I remember a man came to buy some big two-year-old bullocks and he bid me £12.10 each for them.
Yes.
And I couldn't tell you, I was cutting him down. He was a new man and I thought I'll make some. And you know, he left me and he said, I'll see you in office and I only want another half crown apiece. Now then, what do you think of that?
Very small margins compared with today, isn't it?
Small margin?
Yes.
It's out. You're out of reason altogether today.
Yes.
You see, when you can drop, say, we did a couple of years ago about £20 a sheep, you know, that's not a lot of money.
Oh, it's a lot.
That's not a lot of money.
Yes, it's a lot.
Did really?
Yes.
I thought, oh, tired. Yes.
How did you find things?
I was going to say to you before, you switch this off if you like.
Switched itself off.
Oh, but this year, little dog finding the sheep. He removed the groom, he brought our potatoes.
Yes.
£3 a ton, delivered at Cork Station.
Yes.
We got them to Cork Station, and he got £3 a ton for them.
Yes.
And I was saying to Alan, I said, things weren't so good then, you know, Alan.
Mm.
Hey, but Johnny said, just a minute. He said, we are getting 80 for ours now.
Yes.
£80 a ton, and you got £3 a ton. But he said, your men, they'd only be getting about £1 a week. He said, you were making more money then than we are now of ours.
Well, I suppose it could be if you look at it.
It was right.
Yes, it would be right.
And you know, the old The man that was been the manager for Mr. Nash at Pitt Farm. He was called John Nelson.
I haven't read that name, I haven't come across it yet. But he was his manager.
And
yes.
He'd been a manager for, they said he'd been there 50 years.
Yes.
And he, grand old lad he was.
Yes.
But he was on pension, he's 5 shillings a week pension.
5 shillings a week. Well, it was half the old age pension that, wasn't it?
He could earn 5 shillings on the farm, and he could earn 5 shillings pension, you see.
Yes.
So that's how he worked it. And he looked after the pigs and gathered the poultry.
Yes. I was going to ask you about growing things like oats and barley.
Yeah.
You hardly ever see it now, do you? There's not a lot about now, but you must have grown oats and barley when you set up.
Oh, different altogether.
Yeah.
You see, they fed a lot more oats for your cattle.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.